spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you Chapter 12 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled The Vineyard of Yabneh, and features Rod Hendrickson as Yochanan ben Zakkai. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by the Honorable Louis E. Loventhal.
There are the walls, men! The walls of Jerusalem!
They come. The legions of Rome are come unto Zion. Proudly with banners, the Roman legions of Vespasian and Titus are come with a sword unto Jerusalem. From Geshala in Upper Galilee to Beersheba in Idumea, there has been a terrible Roman harvest of red fruit. Israel is fallen to the conqueror, and now only Jerusalem stands and waits. It is dawn now. On Mount Moriah, the holy temple glitters in the sun like a hill of snow. The temple still stands. Year 69 of the Common Era. Beyond the walls of Jerusalem, the Romans are mounting their catapults. The scaling ladders are made ready. The battering rams have been brought up. The giant slingshots are poised.
For the last time, men of Jerusalem, do you yield? For the last time, I say, do you yield? Make ready, soldiers.
Hold on, Lucan. At ease, men.
Don't we fight today, Captain?
Orders that await, Lucan.
I don't understand it, sir.
The general's orders.
What's wrong, sir?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong, Lucan. Why fight them? They're doing it for us.
What's that, Captain?
They're killing one another.
What?
That's right, Lucan. Inside those walls, the Jews are divided into three factions. I think they're going to save us a lot of trouble.
Yochanan ben Zakkai, where do you stand?
This book, Eliezer. This is where I stand.
Answer my question, Rabbi Yochanan.
I thought I answered.
Don't spout the Torah to me. You've got to take a stand. You're for the zealot cause, put a sword in your hand. You're with a pro-Roman patrician faction. Well?
Then you'll put a sword in your hand. Is that what you mean, Eliezer?
Exactly, Yochanan. We've killed 5,000 already. We'll kill 10 times 5,000 if necessary.
I believe you would.
Where do you stand, Yochanan?
I've already told you. With the scripture.
That isn't good enough. Pacifists don't deserve to live. Only people who are ready to kill deserve to live.
You find that in the Torah, Eliezer?
Never mind where I found it. The Romans are outside the walls. We're fighting. What are you going to do?
You have no objection. I'll stay right here and study the law.
You seem to misunderstand, Yochanan. I do have an objection. If you're not with us, you're against us. No different from the Romans. Make no mistake about it, Yochanan. We're going to save Jerusalem.
I'm afraid you can't, Eliezer.
No?
No, you can't save Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is doomed.
Bring the next one, Simeon.
Who's this?
You there. Matthias. You're next.
What do you want?
He'll tell you what we want.
Well, so while we starve.
Matthias.
Well?
You're a rich man, aren't you?
Well?
Did quite a bit of trading with the Romans, didn't you?
Is there anything wrong with that?
You like the Romans, don't you?
I did before this senseless rebellion.
Do you like them now?
Yes, I do. They're good customers. They've been decent to me. They don't interfere with our religion. Why shouldn't I like them?
I think we've heard enough, Eliezer.
Yes,
boy. No, no, wait! Tell me, Matthias, hasn't the situation changed somewhat?
I don't know what you mean.
Nearly 1 million Jews have been slaughtered.
What did you expect the Romans to do? Remember, the Romans were also attacked.
Matthias, you're the kind of man who is always ready to see the other person's point of view. Don't you have a point of view of your own?
You would not be interested, Eliezer.
Come now, of course I am. We all are, aren't we, men?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you. You think I side with the pro-Roman patricians. You won't believe me, but I don't. I take a moderate point of view. I believe that the Romans are entitled to fair taxes. They build roads for us. They police our cities, build new harbors. It would be better if they weren't here. Since they've been here for a long time, I say make the best of it.
I see, Matthias. You're strictly impartial on the side of the Romans.
You can laugh. I believe in our own homeland also. But I don't want to rebuild it with blood. I don't think that's the way.
Just as you said, Matthias, you're a moderate.
Yes, Eliezer. Just as I said.
Simeon.
Yes, right here, Eliezer.
Attend to this moderate man, Simeon, like a good fellow.
I'll do that.
All right, Matthias. He'll be gentle.
That's what I'm called. Gentle Simeon.
Too bad, Matthias. The trouble with this world is that moderate people are too expensive a luxury. I hope it turns out better for you in the next world. Take him along, Simeon.
Eliezer, it must stop.
Why, Yohanan, you're supposed to be reading the Torah.
I'm not a young man, Eliezer. I've seen a great deal of evil, but not like this.
I told you, Yohanan, we're zealots. It's a good name.
You're fanatics.
Why not? Fanatics are the only ones who get things done.
My son, aren't you a Jew? Human life is sacred.
We're not talking theology. You might term this the secular phase of my existence.
Don't joke, Eliezer. You can't be a Jew and see a distinction between the secular and the sacred. You're a Jew always, everywhere, or you're not a Jew. When you lie or cheat in the marketplace, you profane the name of God. When you kill innocent men and women, you're a blasphemer and a murderer before man and before God.
Be careful, Yohanan.
No longer time to be careful with men like you.
I said be careful.
Your hands are covered with blood.
Why not? I've done it to save the temple, to save Jerusalem, to save Palestine.
You besmirched the temple. You traduced Jerusalem.
I'm a patriot, you milksop. You wouldn't understand that.
You're mistaken, Eliezer. I understand patriotism. It can be the most elevating impulse in the human heart. But with men like you, it has become something festering and malignant. Incurably evil.
Yohanan, I've killed a man for less than that.
Then why don't you kill me and be done?
You're the great Hillel's disciple. You see, I'm still enough of a Jew to respect learning. It's all confused, isn't it, Yohanan? Nothing's white, nothing's black, everything's gray and dirty and not good. I think I'll go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. Perhaps that will help.
You can't buy atonement, Eliezer.
Perhaps not, Yohanan. But a man can always try.
Eliezer admires you, Rabbi Yohanan.
Is that what he sent you to see?
No, but it's true. I'm his wife and I know him.
Thank you, Mariamne. But someone in Jerusalem must not swerve from the law. Tell your husband he can't win me over this way.
Rabbi Yohanan, don't you believe in Jerusalem?
I believe in the law.
The holy temple is the law. Won't you lift a hand to fight for the temple?
Mariamne, the temple is doomed.
Then die defending it.
Why are women more bloodthirsty than men?
You evade my question, Rabbi. Wouldn't you die defending Jerusalem and the temple?
That would be irrational, Mariamne, wouldn't it? Dead men offer no praise to the Lord.
I cannot respect rational men while the Romans are standing outside the walls. There are times when people have to stop thinking and start obeying their emotions.
Those times, Mariamne, the world goes straight to Gehenna.
Yes. Eliezer was right. You wouldn't lift a finger to save Jerusalem.
That's stupid. A stupid lie. What should I save? What should I build? Is Jerusalem a holy city because Jews live in it? No. It's holy because the law of righteousness is observed in it. Every righteous city is a holy city. Every righteous land is a holy land because righteous people are holy.
Then save your own people from the Romans.
The Romans are also holy. I must save them both.
Jerusalem first.
No. Jerusalem is no longer righteous. Jerusalem is doomed. And it is doomed not by the Romans, but by the Jews.
If Jerusalem is doomed, Rabbi Yohanan, the temple of Jerusalem is doomed. And if the temple is destroyed, Judaism is destroyed.
Mariamne, that's what the Romans believe. In my heart, I know that is exactly what Vespasian and Titus believe, but they're wrong. They cannot comprehend. The temple will be destroyed, and I shall weep for it. Judea will die, but Judea will die in childbirth. Out of the destruction, something will come. Something will be born again. I feel it. I know it. And I know what it is also. The temple will be built again in the hearts of the people. Mariamne, that is something that cannot be destroyed.
Yes, all right, Eliezer sent me. What I'm saying is true. There's no food left. The water's gone.
My lips are dry, Simeon. I'm starving with the others.
That's not why I've come. People are wavering.
Let Eliezer lift his sword. It's an infallible cure.
I'm serious. People respect the disciple of Hillel. If you tell them our cause is right, they won't buckle.
I can only tell them what I believe. The Torah is right. Neither you, nor I, nor Eliezer. Torah.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
I've killed so many waverers, Yohanan, my arm is weary.
You come to tell me that?
Yes, I've come to tell you that.
Get out.
I need your help.
Get out.
We're going to win you here. With your help or without it.
Eliezer, I said get out.
No, Rabbi, I am not begging for him.
Then what do you want, Mariamne?
Rabbi Yohanan, your life is in danger.
Is there a Jew alive whose life is not in danger? Mariamne, what do you want?
Save your life, Rabbi.
He did send you, didn't he?
I swear he didn't.
No, he sent you.
Yes. Yes, Eliezer sent me.
Mariamne, your husband is doomed, just as Jerusalem is doomed. There's a callous on his soul that nothing can remove now. But say to Eliezer.
Yes?
Say that Yohanan ben Zakkai sends him thanks.
We came as quickly as we could.
There's fighting in the streets.
Sit down. I know about the fighting. Joshua.
Yes, Rabbi Yohanan.
Don't answer hastily. If I asked you what in all Jerusalem you would save if you could, what would your answer be?
The Holy Temple.
Do you think the temple can be saved?
No.
Do you, Ben Bataya?
No, the temple is surely lost.
Then what would you save, Ben Bataya?
One thing?
Yes, one thing above all else.
The Torah.
Because that is the one thing above all else.
I prayed all night that would be your answer. It can be saved. To save it, a scholar of law must escape the city.
You, Rabbi Yohanan?
Yes, Ben Bataya. I. The Romans respect the law of Israel. For the present, at least, they do not interfere with its study or its practice.
But how can you leave? You'd be killed before you reach the first gate.
Think, Joshua.
There's nothing to think. The only ones who leave are the dead.
Yes. Joshua, that is how I must leave, as a dead man.
No, Rabbi Yohanan, you must live.
Ben Bataya, I can be dead yet alive.
You mean...
Yes. It's dangerous, but it's worth it. I shall pretend illness. Only you and Joshua will attend me. Then you will tell them I'm dead. You will take me for burial outside the gates of the city.
It's dangerous. The slightest sign and they'll...
Then I shall be certainly dead. Will you help me?
Yes, Rabbi Yochanan.
And I.
Good. I've debated this step with myself. I've asked myself if it is cowardice to flee a doomed city. I've been tortured by the thought that I'm deserting my people. My heart says stay, my mind says go. And for the good of Israel, I know I must follow my mind. Joshua Ben-Bataiah, be with me. I need your help. I must practice how to die and how to live in death.
Not a quiver from your eyelids, Rabbi Yochanan. I've watched for 2 hours, not a single quiver.
It's incredible, Ben-Bataiah. Even the feather on his lip doesn't move.
You can relax now, Rabbi Yochanan. I didn't believe it possible, but your chest was absolutely motionless. I must be completely trained. We'll do it for another week, Joshua. Then you can report my illness.
I've brought some palm cabbage for Rabbi Yochanan.
But you'll starve, Marianne.
I am just another woman. He is a great man. He must not die.
I'm afraid...
Is it so bad?
Yes, it's the cholera.
Oh, let me see him, please.
No. You'd take the contagion.
I don't care. I thought I hated him once, but I don't care now. Let me help him. I'm a woman. I know about such things.
No, Marianne. We're grateful, but no one can see him. It's too dangerous.
There he is, Eliezer. It's all over.
He was the only man in all of Jerusalem who made me feel ashamed.
He asked me to say that he forgives you.
Did he? It was like him. We must say the scholars Kaddish for him, Ben-Bataiah.
Not now, Eliezer. It isn't proper.
I thought it... Very well, if you say so.
There's something you can do for us, Eliezer.
Yes?
For him. His last wish was that he be buried outside the walls of Jerusalem.
Did he wish that?
Yes. He said he wanted to sleep where there would be peace, not bitter memories.
Very well, Ben-Bataiah. I'll give the order to let his coffin be carried out.
How about the Romans?
Don't worry, we'll signal them. This evening, Ben-Bataiah, just before sundown, my men will let you through the gates. Are you coming?
No, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay with him for a while.
I understand, Ben-Bataiah.
He's gone, Rabbi Yochanan.
It's very tiring to be dead, Ben-Bataiah.
Is there something you want, Rabbi Yochanan?
A piece of meat, Ben-Bataiah. Hmm? Decomposed meat.
Decomposed meat?
It will be unpleasant, but I want some to hold under the shroud. The sun is hot in Jerusalem. There must be the odor of death.
Yes, Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. They must not become suspicious. I'll get the meat.
Stop right there! We have a pass to go through the gates.
Nobody goes through these gates. Nobody dead or alive.
We have a pass from Eliezer himself.
Hand it over.
There it is.
Well, now, this is his writing. What do you think of this, Mordecai?
I don't like it.
Well, it's his pass, isn't it?
I still don't like it.
Says here, black on white, safe conduct for one dead man at burial party.
If he's dead, he doesn't need a safe conduct. He's got one already.
This is a poor time for a joke.
Excuse me.
Can we go through?
Wait. You sure he's dead?
You don't have to trust me. See for yourself.
I think I'll make sure he's dead. Mordecai, your dagger.
In God's name, here it is. What are you going to do?
Stab him.
Only once or twice.
But why?
Just to make sure he's dead.
You can't do that.
No?
No, this is Yohanan ben Zakkai, the disciple of the great Hillel.
I wouldn't care if he was the disciple of the great Moses. Get out of my way.
But he's the great master of the law.
I just want to make sure he's the dead master of the law.
All right. Is that how you feel?
Yes, that's how I feel.
But?
But what?
Think of the Romans.
That's just who I am thinking of.
Think what they'll say.
They'll say the soldiers of Israel don't take chances with traitors.
No, that's not what they'll say.
No?
Of course not. They'll say, see, these Israelites have reverence for nothing. They fight on their Sabbath, they kill one another, and they even violate the dead body of their greatest scholar.
Yeah. Didn't think of that.
Well, all right, take him through the gate, but you and this man...
You mean me?
Yes, both of you stay here. You're not dead. Mordecai and I are going to carry him through. On the tower there! Raise the truce banners! Here's the dead body we're going to leave for the Romans to bury!
And in this manner, the sage and scholar Yohanan ben Zakkai was carried in his coffin through the gates of Jerusalem and discovered himself unto Vespasian, the imperious general of the Roman legions. And Yohanan ben Zakkai asked of him a small place for the study and the teaching of the law. And Vespasian smiled.
Why not? Israel is dead. You want to mumble a few words over the cadaver. Why not?
Your Excellency is very tolerant.
For the moment, yes. A modest request, and it costs us nothing. And to the world, Rome will receive a reputation for mercy. That's how empires are built and preserved.
And I will build and preserve another empire, Your Excellency.
Personally, my dear fellow, I think you're a fool. But a harmless fool. You have my permission. Do what you want.
Then I shall go to Yabna, Your Excellency. In the vineyard of Yabna, the scholars who remain will come to me, and we shall study the law and the oral tradition that is my legacy from Hillel. We shall pass it on. Poor, harmless fools, we shall pass it on. And though Jerusalem falls, and though the temple falls, the word will remain and live on and grow.
In the year 70 of the Common Era, the Romans battered through the defenses of Jerusalem. Titus, the son of Vespasian, gave orders that the temple be spared, but a Roman soldier flung a burning torch, and the temple burned to the ground. The temple burned, and there was weeping in Jerusalem and among the people of the diaspora. Yet in the vineyard of Yabna, Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai preserved the law. Here the sages of Israel came and wrote the Talmud, the commentary upon the law. And Yohanan ben Zakkai, in the twilight of his life, said softly to his weeping disciples,
"My sons, if you have studied much Torah, take no pride, for study is the purpose of your creation. Now remove the vessels from the house that they may not be defiled when I die. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one."
Copies of the scripts you have just heard, including the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting a brief talk by one of the nation's prominent Jewish laymen, the Honorable Louis E. Leventhal, who speaks to us from Philadelphia.
Dear
Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman conqueror, but the spiritual truths enunciated and developed on the hills of Judea survived. The light of Jerusalem burned on at the Rabbinical Academy of Yavne. That light has ever since been faithfully and lovingly tended in Jewish schools, seminaries, and synagogues throughout the world. When we Jews stand in our houses of worship, we bow toward Jerusalem, the city of the kings and judges of Judea, the city of the prophets and sages of Israel. In our prayers, we voice our age-old yearnings for the return of the divine presence to Zion and for the reestablishment of a full, creative Jewish life in the land of Israel. Solemnly do we pray that by dwelling again in the midst of Jerusalem, thy city, as thou hast spoken, build up Zion speedily in our days for all time. Just as Jews regard Jerusalem as the spiritual center of Judaism, so the great religions stemming from Jerusalem also look to the Mount of Zion as their spiritual fountainhead. No one values the sanctity of Jerusalem for all mankind more highly than do those Jews who are devoted to the cause of rebuilding the Jewish national home in Israel, ancestral land. But truly, we have an abiding faith in the vision of our ancient prophet who declared, many nations shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. On that day shall the eternal light of Jerusalem, the light of God's mercy, justice, and righteousness, shine for all the children of God.
Thank you, Judge Leventhal. Copies of today's script and Judge Leventhal's talk may be obtained without cost by writing to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. You have just heard Chapter 12 of The Eternal Light. The script was written by Morton Wishengrad and featured Rod Hendrickson. The music was composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Cadams. The speaker was the Honorable Louis E. Leventhal, and the entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery.